Welcome to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, brought to you by Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell, the Rapala family of fishing products, including VMC hooks and 13 fishing rods, reels, and more, and the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at 13fishing.com along with all their other great products. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20, only at 13fishing.com. Now, I fish these rods and reels myself and could not be happier. Get 20% off with the code BASSRADIO20. This week's episode is a special one, dedicated to the editors that brought us Bassmaster Magazine for the past 53 years or so. And remarkably, just three, the first being Bob Cobb, who was the first editor hired by Ray Scott in 1970. Scott had published four issues in 1968 and then three more in 1969. And then he hired Cobb, whose main qualification, according to Ray, was that he could read and write. More on that in a few moments. In 1985, Dave Preck became the editor-in-chief until 2003 when he handed off to James Hall, who currently holds that office. Preck stayed involved for another 15 years or so, but Hall has been the magazine's editor for 20 years. Now, all three of these men join us on the show today as we celebrate 500 issues of Bassmaster Magazine. So let's get it started with the man that was there at the beginning. Joining us now on the VMC hook is the original Bob Cobb. Bob, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. After 500 issues, I think I'm just still shaking my head. I didn't think we'd be around that long. Life magazine's gone, and Saturday Evening Post, and there's Bassmaster. Yep. Still chunking and winding.
So, do you still get an issue? Are you a lifetime member, Bob? I mean, did they send you one? Are you emeritus?
I was the charter member when Ray Scott passed out charter members, so I have been a member of Bass since the first Bass patch was issued.
Yeah.
Ray personally gave me one.
So did you get those 1968 and 69 issues before you became the editor? Because, I mean, by percentage basis, I would have to say that you've read 100%, 80%, 90% of Bassmaster magazines, all of these 500 issues that have come out.
In the beginning, I helped Ray a little more than just being the editor. He was searching around looking for some material, and I contributed a few things to him. I was the outdoor editor at the time of the Tulsa Tribune in Oklahoma. I'd met Ray in 1967 at a press conference in Springdale, Arkansas, when he was announcing the biggest event to ever happen in bass fishing. That was the All-American Invitational Bass Tournament. It was attended by a few local guides and media people and a couple of marina operators. And Ray, as he said, I got up and made my announcement, and they accepted it kind of like somebody with a new barrel going over Niagara Falls. They ate the roast beef, asked a few follow-up questions, belched, and left. And he looked back in the back of the room, and as he described it, he said there was a guy sitting there with a coffee cup in his real hand taking notes. And he walked back there and introduced himself, and I introduced myself, and 3 hours later, we were still talking about the future of fishing and bass fishing, and I guess I became hooked on it, or he became hooked on me at the time, and we became friends, and that was in, I think, May of 1967.
Wow.
And he organized Bass in 1968. I had been involved in helping create interest in the All-American Invitational. Entries were slow, but we had a pretty good group of people in Tulsa that were known bass fishermen. So I had got a challenge from Clyde Harbin in Memphis that he and Ray had cooked up to get some interest. And he sent a letter to me as at the outdoor desk in Tulsa, in effect, calling bass fishermen for not entering the tournament in Tulsa as being purse jerkers. So I wrote a column in the paper and said, help wanted, some hairy-legged bass fisherman to come and put down this loudmouth so-and-so from Memphis. And the column ran, and the next morning, phone rang, and somebody, Bill Harper, answered it. And he said, there's somebody on the line that wants to talk to the outdoor guy, and he sounds mad. So I picked up the phone and said, this is Bob Cobb. Can I help you? He says, this is Don T. Butler. Who is that loudmouth from Memphis, and how do I get in that bass tournament in Arkansas? And Butler later became the first member of Bass, and he organized a group of fishermen to come and fish at the All-American Invitational in Springdale at Beaver Lake.
Yeah.
And actually, that became the nucleus of the membership growth of Bass. And I had, in the meantime, after leaving the Tribune, had gone to work as a PR director at Zebco, and Ray and I stayed in contact. And he came to Tulsa a couple of times and was trying to convince my wife, Barbara, that to take a leap of faith and come to Montgomery and help him with this bass project he had. So I'd always had in the back of my mind that I was a great admirer of Homer Circle, who I'd met a time or two. And I felt like, well, if I could convince Barbara, my wife, to go, and we did. We had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, Leslie and Brett, and we drove into Montgomery, and it was a moment there of trepidation when we found Ray's office. Across the street was lined with headstones. It was the Montgomery Monument Company, grave markers. And the front door to Ray Scott's Bass Enterprises was down an alley, the back door. And we knocked on the door, let Ray, and he brought us in. We walked down a little hall, and he showed me where my office was, the new editor. It had been an office for a draftsman, for an architect. The room was lined with about a waist-high walled desk, and perched on that was a typewriter that Ray had purchased from Montgomery Pawn and Loan. I think he paid $55 for it.
Uh-huh.
Other piece of furniture in the office was a pro throne, which was a seat that you had in a bass boat that he had pulled out and put a stand on.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked around and he said, well, this is your office. He pointed over there and said, that's the bass file, and turned around to go take a phone call. He said, you can look in there. It might be something we can use. So I looked at it, and it was Whitfield Pickles' box it was in.
Mm.
And then I had it in the South, you know, if you're getting a pickle, that's not good. So I had that feeling again of, you know, is this right? And Whitfield Pickles, there was a little slogan, catchy one they had. Whitfield Pickles, the pickle with a perfect pucker, picked at the peak of perfection by particular pickle-picking people. Did you say that?
No, I cannot.
Well, it was a tongue twister. And I dug into the box, and there it was. It wasn't prepared manuscripts at all. It was Ray had talked to a few people and a fisherman and ask them for their secrets and some of their how-to tips and stuff. And most of them said, Ray, I'm not a writer. And Ray said, well, just write me a letter.
Yeah.
And they did. They wrote a letter, and you'd see it was on most of them on Big Chief tablet, it looked like, and where they'd set it to coffee at the breakfast table and sweated over writing this. You'd see coffee stains on a lot of the, I won't call them manuscripts, letters. And, when I started reading it, as Ray said, you know, he said they butchered the English language, and it just one sentence might ramble on for a yard or more.
Mm.
So, but I could see the how to, and the fact that what I was reading there and seeing was not what you were getting in the major outdoor magazines, not right. What you're getting in Outdoor Life or Sports and Field or Field and Stream, which is basically courting or adhering to trout fishermen and things, and very little information on bass.
Yeah.
So I could see this as a treasure trove, and it cleaned up a little bit of it, and But in the beginning, the information in Bassmaster was from the heart.
Yeah.
It was how-to techniques and not a lot of glowing sunrises and prose. it was the English language was quite abused, but it had merit in it.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, as Ray was the first so-called editor there, and he was always joked about when he was in college at Auburn that he got a D- on him. On a theme, and he went to the prof, and he said, you know, I surely did better than this. I mean, you know, it's a D minus. He said, I'm on a GI scholarship, and I can't have these real low grades. And the prof shook his head and said, Mr. Scott, he said, your use of the English language is atrocious, but adequate to express your thoughts.
There you go. By the way, if you love these stories from Bob Cobb, he wrote a wonderful book a few years back called The Bass Story by Bob Cobb, and it tells all of the history. You know, Bob, that's all the time we have, but man, you this is perfect because you launched it and you just told us how the whole thing started, and we really appreciate you for that. And it's always great to catch up with you, and it's always great to hear the stories about how Bassmaster Magazine started. Bob Cobb has been our guest. Bob, appreciate you.
For the Bassmasters, this is Bob Cobb. See you next time.
I love it. That's right. He actually laid one of those down for me at one time for the Bassmaster Radio. This is Bob Cobb. All right, we'll get a quick break in here when we come back. Dave Precht, he was the middle editor of Bassmaster Magazine during these years. He'll join us next on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, this very special edition of Bassmaster Radio, celebrating 500 editions of Bassmaster Magazine. And this segment of the show is brought to you by the fine folks at Visit Anderson, visitanderson.com, and Lake Hartwell, Green Pond Landing. I mean, it's just absolutely an incredible body of water right now, one of the hottest bodies of water anywhere in the country. And Green Pond Landing, second to none in terms of a facility. If you're looking to run a tournament or just go fishing, and in Anderson itself is just so great. I love visiting Anderson and spending time over there. And Neil Paul, our great friend from Anderson, and his whole team do such a tremendous job. All right, joining us now, the middleman, if you will, the guy that had the reins as editor from about 1985 to 2003, and then stayed on with the magazine for another 15 years or so in various roles as well. He is Dave Precht, and he joins us on the VMC Hook. Dave, welcome back to the show. How are you? It's been a minute.
Doing great, and good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me on today.
So how is this whole retirement thing working out for you? What does retirement look like for a guy that spent his life in writing prose?
Well, I can fish on weekdays now, so that's a good thing. The lakes are not nearly as crowded as they are on Saturdays like I used to have to fish, but retirement's fun. I still write a little bit for Bassmaster and other people, and I try to stay active, and I've always loved writing and editing, and that's what I'm trying to do just on some of my free time.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying life. It's going great.
We talked with Bob Cobb about his qualifications when Ray Scott hired him. His qualifications were, according to Ray, was that he could read and write. So it was a low bar was set at that particular point in time. Ray said he can read and write, so he's going to become the editor of Bassmaster Magazine. Talk about your initial, you know, when you come to the company in the late 70s and then eventually take over as editor.
Yeah, well, Bob may have had a low bar, but I had a very high one to follow Bob Cobb. He really understood the sport and the readers and the anglers, and that's what I tried to do as well. I always thought that the best editor is somebody who loves what the publication is about, and I always loved bass fishing. But it was a lifelong dream of mine to be an outdoor magazine editor. And in 1978, Ray Scott and Bob Cobb offered me the opportunity with Bassmaster. It came on a little while later, but it has been a great ride ever since. And I kind of learned on the way, although I was editor of Southern Outdoors magazine for a few years before Bassmaster, it was so much more of an operation, and we always did things with a lot fewer staff than you would expect for a publication as big as Bassmaster. And we worked hard, but we loved our job, and it was just such a huge part of our lives.
And, of course, Bass just explodes during this period of time as well, during your reign as editor. How many issues were you guys putting out when you started? Because, you know, Ray had only done, three or four issues the first couple of years before he hired Bob Cobb. And then by the end, how many issues were you guys putting out?
Yeah, I think we started out with seven issues, most of them double issues, but we had January, February, March, and April monthly. And that was really the time that the advertisers wanted to advertise their boats and the manufacturers wanted to sell their lures, because that's when the anglers were buying. So that kind of dictated the size of the magazine as well as the frequency. So we went from seven in 1985 to... by the end of 85, we added an eighth issue or ninth issue, and then eventually it was 11, along with several special publications that we did, kind of one-off things on the tournament trail and some other things. But we were busy. There were very little downtime then.
Yeah, and then Bass Times actually is introduced during your reign as well as another publication. I remember when I first started, I've been a lifetime member since 1981. I remember when I started getting Bass Times, it was almost in paper form. It was like the Sporting News, you know, of bass fishing, and that filled a different gap, right, than what you guys were doing with the magazine.
Oh yeah, well, Bass Times actually began back in almost as early as Bassmaster. It was the newsletter for the Bass Nation people. And then we converted it to a tabloid publication. That was after USA Today came along and Sporting News came along and showed how you can have a good, colorful, almost magazine format for out of newsprint, which is so much cheaper to manufacture magazines from. And it was full of news and information about the Bass Nation, and it was very timely. We could, because it was not a slick publication, we could turn this around in a week or two. And so, therefore, you'd have the latest tournament coverage in Bass Times. And we kind of phased out some of the tournament coverage in Bassmaster because the Bass Times readers had already read about it by then.
Yeah, Dave Preck with us here, the editor of Bassmaster Magazine, 1985 to 2003. And of course, we're in a dot-com era now, and everything is archived there, a special membership website now attached to Bassmaster.com. But I remember back in the day, and again, sometimes your memories are a little foggy when you think about those things, but I'm looking across the Bassmaster Radio studios here, and I'm seeing some stuff that I have on the shelves. And you guys occasionally then would do these volumes of the magazine, where you could get a hardcover, really, and it would have all of these how-tos and things that were gathered from over the years. I mean, that was a kind of a special thing you did then.
Yeah, the Best of Bassmaster series, and I don't know, we did quite a few, several, I guess, when Helen Sevier owned the company, and then when ESPN took it over. They kind of copied the Time Life series of books, and we did special reprints and updated articles from the old Bassmaster magazine. People ate them up. It was a really good business for us, as well as a service for the readers, you know, especially the ones who weren't members way back when.
Yeah.
You know, so they could get some of the priceless articles that were already published.
Of course, and I always got my calendar, you know, the calendar always came out at the beginning of the year. And I'll be honest with you, I had for years and years, and finally, you know, at some point stopped getting them because, again, everything is online. The calendar's on the phone, and it's just, I guess I really don't use a paper calendar anymore, but all of those things that came out. How did you balance, you mentioned with Bass Times covering tournaments more, you had some great stars. Roland Martin comes to mind, some of the other greats at the beginning of KVD and all of those types of things. How did you balance the how-tos versus tournament coverage and then, you know, the feature pieces, the Harry and Charlie and, you know, those types of things that you guys would do as well? How would you decide, okay, how many inches, if you will, that you were going to dedicate to each of those things?
I had a philosophy that the readers, and it was proved out by our studies in response to the articles. My philosophy was that people didn't care what Kevin Van Dam had for breakfast, but they wanted to know how he caught fish. And they didn't care so much, you know, how many tournaments or what all the action mm-hmm. was that led up to a victory for Roland Martin. They want to know how Roland catches fish on and off the tournament trail. And so that's what we tried to provide a steady diet of. It was really how-to oriented. Not much on the drama of the tournaments. We left that to Bass Times, and Bassmaster TV was the way it was all captured. You know, this, you can't compete with TV when you show in a tournament the way Bob Cobb did it and the way Mike McInnes and the crew does it now.
Yeah.
We had one of our problems was that some pros were so easy to work with, and the writers were always sending me stories about Roland Martin. And then when Van Dam came along, you know, everybody wanted to interview him about something. And if I didn't pay attention and spread out the love, so to speak, I'd have a Kevin Van Dam issue. And, so we couldn't do that. And besides, there were a lot of good anglers who had good information. They just weren't as good at relating to the media.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Well, and in our final minute, just how remarkable is it? 53 years, three editors. I mean, that in this business is absolutely incredible.
Bassmaster has been a tremendous success story all along. From, you know, it reached a high point of over 650,000 subscribers or members back in the day. And that was more than a couple of the big three outdoor magazines, and now it's outlived those magazines more or less. And most of them, I think, have all gone digital. So it's a tremendous success story. But part of it is, I think the people who put it together have always been dedicated and they love the sport. But the other thing is that bass fishing is just, it's such a unique niche that I think the people who love bass fishing are loyal. They can't get enough of it. And I thought they'd be burned out with all the information you can get on the internet. Mm-hmm. They still go back to Bassmaster.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
You can find anything you want on the internet, but a magazine tells you what you didn't know to look for.
And no doubt about it. Dave Precht has been our guest. Dave, I appreciate you. Good to catch up again, and congratulations on your role in 500 issues of Bassmaster magazine.
Thank you, Tom. Have a great day.
At Dave Precht. All right, we're going to come back with the current editor-in-chief of Bassmaster Magazine. That's James Hall, and we'll talk to him about his challenges in the digital age next, right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, this special edition of Bassmaster Radio as we celebrate 500 issues of Bassmaster Magazine. This segment of the show brought to you by the fine folks at Rapala in the Crush City series. I mean, you got to see these soft baits that they've come out with from Rapala are absolutely amazing, and they'll be available to everyone coming up here pretty soon in the fall. It's Crush City. They did a great job with it, just like everything Rapala does. So they wouldn't put it out there if it wasn't very effective, that's for sure. All right, speaking of very effective, James Hall, as Dave Precht just told us, James Hall has been the longest editor of Bassmaster Magazine at 20 years, as he hits 20 years this September, and he joins us now on the VMC Hook. James, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I want to start where I left off with Dave. 53 years, three editors. I mean, that's amazing in this business. Just talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, not just in the fishing industry. I mean, you look at the magazine industry worldwide, and I don't know of any publication that can say they've only had three editors in their lifespan, much less if that lifespan was over 50 years. So it's been incredible, for your listeners, it's probably easy to understand because it's like we have the best job in the world. Yeah. Why would we want to leave?
Yeah,
we get to talk and write and read about fishing all day long. It's not a bad gig. you can get it.
Yeah, well, and Dave also said that, you know, he thought it's important for an editor to love what it is that they're covering. And in our case, you know, me do with the show, bass fishing, if I'm not talking about it, I want to be out there on the water. I realized at a young age that I wasn't going to advance much beyond being a regional tournament fisherman. And I was not going to be covered in the pages of Bassmaster magazine as a pro. But certainly love all the how-to stuff and love my time on the water. But that, you know, was that way for Dave, and it's that way for you. I mean, you know, your picture that goes along with the upfront segment has you holding up a nice 4 or 5 pounder there, and you spend as much time on the water as you possibly can, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, it's I learned fairly early that if you love what you're doing, then it's not really work. And so I loved from a very young age. I fished and grew up on lakes in Texas and just got really, really lucky enough to marry my passion and my profession. And I'm telling you, I just can't imagine doing anything else at this point.
I became a lifetime member in 1981. That's when I got my first issue of Bassmaster. I never had an annual membership. I just went right to lifetime membership as a 20-year-old then. And I remember those early issues for sure. I remember the issue that my name was in, you know, new lifetime members. They would put those in there, and 3 or 4 months later, my name showed up in there. What's your earliest recollection of the magazine itself?
So I was the first time I received Bassmaster magazine. It was a membership. I think a guy my mom was dating, and that would have been in the probably in the mid to late, no, it's mid 80s. Mm-hmm. And then he really is the one that kind of got me into the bass fishing scene, because before then we loved to fish for crappie and catfish and right. even carp, you know, just anything we could catch off the thing. But he had a boat and he was a member of Bass, and he got Bassmaster magazine. And I recall my brother and I would flip through that magazine, and we would circle the products, and we'd talk at night. Instead of going to bed, we'd talk about the rods that we wanted. Remember when Boron, you know, mm-hmm. the new Boron rod came mm-hmm. out, and we were talking about, oh, how amazing it would be to have one of those things. So that was kind of my first recollection of getting into Bassmaster magazine and seeing it. I mean, I had to have been, 13, 14 years old, something like that. And it launched, many dreams for me and my brother, and, you know, wanting to get all this cool new gear that these mm-hmm. professional bass fishermen were using.
I mean, and then you end up editor-in-chief, you know what I mean? All these years later, it's got to almost be surreal. I remember for me, I had been doing outdoor radio for 10 or 12 years with a show called Bass Buck and Duck, Bass Buck and Duck Radio, which is hard to say on the radio. I had to be careful with that one. But, I had been doing that. And in 2017, when the show became syndicated, had the opportunity to marry it and become Bassmaster Radio. And that was my very first visit to the Bass headquarters in Birmingham at the time, because I'd moved back to Birmingham. And it was like, I've been a fan of this my whole life, and I was fanboying over the fact that now, you know, I was a part of the Bassmaster family, and seeing all these things, and seeing meeting with Dave Precht and Jerry McGinnis at the time, and, you know, and Bruce Aiken and so on, and seeing all the memorabilia that's there at the office and so on. And it was surreal, I guess, going from being somebody that was a fan of this my whole life to now being part of it. You must pinch yourself daily to think about that.
That's true. It's true. You know, It remains surreal, you know. We'll have like these anniversary issues or whatever, and I'll go back and dig into the archives of photos, because, you know, we have mm-hmm. one whole room dedicated to nothing but filing cabinets full of old black and white photos and slides from, you know, the first probably 40 years of the organization before it went all digital. So to pop back in there and kind of put my hands on the photos, that Gerald Crawford took, or that, you know, Ray Scott mm-hmm. was probably, you know, the one taking some of the pictures, and Bob Cobb certainly, and just kind of touching that history and feeling it, and knowing that that I'm a part of it now, is, you know, it can be intimidating too, you know, because there are expectations. I have such immense respect for Bob Cobb and Dave Precht. And I kind of get in the office daily and I'm like, don't screw this up, James. Even now, there's pressure on me to kind of maintain the quality of excellence that those two guys initiated some years ago.
James Hall with us, current editor and chief of Bassmaster Magazine. So, and you took over as the editor in 2003, but Dave hangs around for another 15 years doing other things, with the organization. But that must have been a comforting thing for him, for you, I should say, to have him down the hall where you could kind of lean on him and what you were doing. And now you're the longest tenured editor. Someday somebody's going to take over as editor, and then you'll be the mentor a little bit as well, helping. And hopefully, Lord willing, we'll still be getting a paper magazine that we can, open the pages of, that's forever.
Yeah, you're right. It was certainly comforting to have Dave. I mean, he was right next door. Our offices were separated only by a wall. And so if ever I had any questions, then I could always ask him and guidance. I mean, that was the easy part. But he was more than that to me and still is. To me, I lost my dad back in, it's probably been almost 15 years now. And then all the questions that I'd ask a father, I'd always end up asking Dave. So he's turned out to be more like my second dad than he has just been my mentor in the publishing business. But it was certainly great to have him there, instead of just him walking out and like, don't call me, good luck.
Yeah.
He was always, and still is today. I think he retired a few years ago. And I'll still call him. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this decision? Yeah. What should I do here? And he's always lends amazing advice.
Well, the other thing that struck me on that first visit to the Bassmaster headquarters was when I walked in, there were on the walls, there were articles and photographs and things of the magazine that was going to be coming out in 2 or 3 months. I don't think, just pull back the curtain for a moment, I don't think people realize how far in advance you guys are putting together the magazine, even in the digital age. And there was all of this was, 5 or 6 years ago now, but there was all of this stuff on the walls. And I'm like, what am I looking at? Oh, that's two issues from now.
Yeah. And that's those are the walls that is the next issue to be printed. That's kind of the last thing we do before we send it to the printer. Is we print out all the pages and put them on the wall as they will be seen in the magazine. Mm-hmm. So then if there's any ad, like it's pure black, full page, pure black ad, and it's adjacent to some content, some editorial content that's pure black, well, both of them, we don't want them to look alike. It'll be a disservice to the advertiser and to the reader. So we just want to make sure that the ad content and the editorial content look good against each other. We want to make sure that we haven't made any, strange mistakes, because it's always weird. You read something 1,000 times on a computer screen. As soon as you print it out on paper,
yep,
and then you read it again, you're like, oh my God, how in the hell did I miss that?
Yeah.
But it's always offers just a different view. So yeah, that allows us one last chance to make sure that we have everything buttoned up before we send it to the printer.
Very, very cool. We'll take a short break. We'll come back with more with James Hall as we wrap up our special edition of Bassmaster Radio. The editors, we're calling this one. We'll do that next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. We're visiting with James Hall. He is the current editor-in-chief. You've heard from Bob Cobb. You've heard from Dave Precht. And we wrap things up with James Hall. And James, everybody had seminal things that went, in their career. We talked with Bob Cobb about the fact that his qualifications, according to Ray Scott, to become the first editor of Bassmaster Magazine was that he could read and write. Now it's a little different. All right. So the standard has changed to a little bit. And in your tenure, in your time as editor, we have seen the move back and forth from Orlando, and we've seen ESPN ownership and other changes in ownership. And, during all of that time, you've had to try and maintain a certain consistency and standard in the magazine, even though the industry and the company itself of Bassmaster and Bass have changed so much. I mean, there must have been a certain challenge to that because different owners, different, big bosses, you kind of everybody's got their hand in it a little bit.
Yeah, it has. It's been... there have been challenges. I don't know if Dave mentioned it, but I think one of the biggest challenges that we faced were when ESPN owned us, because they were a TV company. Mm-hmm. They understood video, they understood television. They didn't know nothing about print. I mean, and I don't even know that they liked. Although they had started ESPN the magazine, which I don't even know if that still exists anymore.
Does not.
About that same time, it does not. Okay.
Does not. Yeah.
So I don't think that whole lot of respect for print, or really that was not their emphasis. I'll at least put it that way. So it was hard to get their attention as it related to supporting the magazine and investing in it. But then when Don Logan and that group bought the company from ESPN, it was like a breath of fresh air, because Logan, he was a magazine guy. He came from Time, and he was just brilliant on the magazine side of things. And we saw this awesome new focus on the publications, and it was just really inspiring. So that was a really good part. And, then they sold it to the Andersons, who own us currently. And they have been incredibly supportive of print as well, even though now it's very different than even 2003 when I took over. The print has suffered throughout the earth because everything has gone so digital.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's time. Our efforts are now reminding people how important print is for impressions, and how our membership still loves to hold that magazine in their hand and receive it every month in the mail, and not just get it, like you do digital content, but they actually pay to get it.
Yeah.
So these are things that we have to remind media buyers and things like that, that how relevant print still is and how important it is their brand. So the challenges are still there. They just look a little bit different these days. But regardless, I am confident that Bassmaster magazine is going to be around for a long time, even after I'm gone.
Yeah, and I'll speak for all 500,000 members, because I like to do that whether I am or not. But I'll say this: you get the magazine, it comes monthly. You get this magazine, And you almost kind of spread it out over several days. You could sit there in your chair and flip through it and be done with it in 12 minutes. I mean, if you were that, if it's something else, I get a Sports Illustrated, no disrespect. And, because I'm into business and I know kind of everything that's going on currently in the sports business, but I can flip through that. Oh, well, there's a feature article. I'll read that. And then I'm done with it. You get Bassmaster and Bass Times. And you try to make it last as many weeks as possible to the next one, because you hate it when it's over, when you're done with it. You read every single page. You read every ad. You look at the ads. The ads are like content. And so you read through the ads and you look at the boat ads and things like that. And then it ends. And then you got like a week or a week and a half to go before the next one shows up. And that's the way that's the way members consume this magazine, and you can't throw it out. I mean, I got them on the shelf over here. I'm looking at them right now. I don't know how many of them are up there. There's probably 5-6 years at a time up there. The rest of them are in boxes. My wife's like, "Why do you keep them?" I said, "I don't know. Maybe my grandkids someday want to read through this stuff." But it's but that's the way we consume it, and it's and that's what membership means.
Yeah, well, and that's why I love you, Tom.
It's true.
And it's not. Yeah,
true.
You're right. You represent a lot. There's a lot. We get notes every day of. About people wanting this issue or that issue because it's missing in their collection.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can we kind of try to dig back and help people find stuff like that. But it's true. I mean, it's a resource. You look back at some of the stuff that Larry Nixon did with a spinnerbait mm-hmm. in the 80s, and you read that stuff, and that's content that's still applicable today. So I think that I'm with you. I hate throwing stuff out, especially if it's content that I can – look back over and enjoy. And I'll tell you another thing that probably don't talk about enough is the quality of writers that we have mm-hmm. in the magazine. And this is interesting because Bob Cobb, Dave Preck, and I have shared the same core writing crew for 50 years. You know, you have Don Wirth, who's been riding for 50, Steve Price and Louis Stout are over 40 years, Mark Hicks over 30 years. So these guys are really good at their craft. And to go back and read, it's not just educational and informative, but it's also entertaining. So I think all that is remains important for the magazine to be relevant and enjoyable for the readership.
And finally, James Hall with us here, current editor-in-chief of Bassmaster Magazine. During your career, we've had the explosion of the dot-coms, and Bassmaster.com is a phenomenal resource, gets a lot of page views. Now there's a new member site where there's a lot of stuff that is archived as well and people can go to. But just talk about your coordination with .com, because sometimes we see some of the articles after they come out in a magazine that will then maybe end up on .com, which is available to, you know, to everybody. And but just how you guys coordinate back and forth with what is content for .com and what is content for the magazine.
Yeah, it's an imperative for that coordination to exist. And the way that we kind of work it is, you know, .com is extremely heavy on the tournament coverage, because that's like what's happening now, that you have Bass, you know, live, all the live content that we do from tournaments. And then you have all the follow-up from the events for talk about what the winner used and where we're going next. All that stuff is extremely important and timely on the dot-coms. So, so that's kind of their main focus for the majority of the year, because the, you know, the Elite Series and the Opens and even the Bass Nation High School stuff all go on .com, and they're important for everybody to follow. So, you know, that's a lot of what they have. But then when they also get, we'll share content with them as it relates to something interesting. So, you know, if Jason Christie wins the Classic using forward-facing sonar, and we've had something in an in-depth piece on Jason talking about that, then we'll share that with them so that they get you know, those readers who want to know a little bit more than what they got, they'll have, you know, a long form piece to really dive into his headspace to figure that out. And then we'll also go the other way. So we'll do something in the magazine, you know, it could be Corey Johnson on hair jig, and we'll have him do a small video about the content that we've done in the article, put a QR code in there to drive people, if they want to see even more than what they've read in the magazine, then they can scan the QR code and go straight to that page on Bassmaster.com. So it's kind of a them sending people to us sending people to them, and kind of really sharing sister type content that enhances what people are reading or whatever they're viewing on .com, so that they can kind of get a little bit more of what they love in either the magazine or online. So it's a symbiotic relationship that I think is important. And the other thing is that we've created a new membership section of the website, and a lot of the old cool content, every Bassmaster cover ever, you know, all the good magazine stuff that members want and love, all that stuff is on that new membership section of the website. So I think that's going to be really cool for members if they don't want to dig through old boxes, you know, like you have in your attic, to read some content about Paul Lias kneeling and reeling. Well, they can go on that membership section and find some cool stuff like that.
Go to page 35 of the Celebrating 500 Issues issue, and you will see the color selector. Thank you for putting the color selector in there, because I had one. I did have one. I had all of the lures that went with the color selector to select all of those lures in those colors. I don't know if it ever worked, but it was a fun thing to have in the boat, the color selector. And as my dad told me in 1985, when I had my color selector, he said, "You are cheating." God knows what he would think of the forward facing sonar and the, you know, and the 360 that are on the boat now. So that's a whole nother deal. James Hall has been our guest. James, I appreciate you so much. Keep up the great work, and we appreciate what you guys are doing at the magazine.
Hey, thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Bassmaster Radio. Next week, we're going to take a look at the new schedule that came out, and it is a great schedule. I can tell you that for sure. Remember, if you missed any of this week's show, just to click away, Bassmaster.com/radio, or just go to Bassmaster.com and click on the Anglers page, and you'll see Bassmaster Radio listed there. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham. And this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.